This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, you're listening to Remarkable Results Radio, and I'm your host, Carm Capriotto, your automotive aftermarket podcast pioneer since 2015. Now, this is the place to be if you've got the passion to advance yourself in the aftermarket. And with over 1,000 archived episodes and the launch of the Aftermarket Radio Network, you won't find better content to improve your business acumen than right here. Hey, look, it's time to shift your perspective from we are the alternative to the dealerships to the dealerships are the alternative to us. Hey, are we making enough buzz about the benefits of independent repair shops to our customers? Well, my panel shares their perspective, and they offer real testimonials from customers on their experience at the dealerships. You all have stories like this. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Shopware and Broadly, for providing you this episode. You know, what do Worldpac, Mitchell 1, Kukui, and QuickBooks have in common? Well, they work with Shopware. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's all-in-one platform maximizes shop efficiency and delivers customer satisfaction without compromise. Get the shop management software trusted across our industry on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a couple? Well, rest easy with Broadly. Broadly gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. What else is better than that? On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Jake Sorensen, shop manager and diagnostic technician at McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I mean, you know, Jake's a superstar in my eyes, master tech, and one of the creators of the NAPA Apprentice Program, and we've done a lot of great shows together, so thank you, Jake, for being here. George Gilligan, partner, Revolution Motor Works, Finksburg, Maryland. Hey, George.
Hey, Carm, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. You and I met personally and did an episode in Florida, I think sometime in May, maybe. I can't remember, of this year. And John Klosterman, Director of Operations at Westside Auto Group in Zeeland, Michigan. I think you said now with 4 stores, John?
Yes, sir. Happy to be here, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm glad to have you back again. Boy, John, you guys are growing. You must have a vote in that growth pattern, so you must love to be busy.
Yeah, a little bit. I got 3 small kids at home, and then to add a 4th store, that was a fun fall. We moved a lot, and there's nothing wrong with pushing it pedal to the metal.
Thanks for being here, fellas. And one of the things I want to say is I did a show with 3 young people in our industry under 30 years old. It was Edgar Reyes. Near the end of the show, he says, we were talking about being the dealer alternative. He just softballed and laid up this thing. He says, no, the dealer is the alternative to us. Here we are saying, well, we're the dealer alternative. No, the dealer is the alternative to us. That's a proud, proud statement from inside of your organization. George, do you believe that?
Oh, for sure. The dealership only has so much they can offer. Like they were talking about earlier, if there's a part issue, they only can buy from the manufacturer. What if the manufacturer doesn't have the part? The customer's car sits. So, you know, we have multiple avenues to get different parts. You know, we can use used parts, not the best alternative, but sometimes it's the only, especially now with all the shortages and different things. But the level of service that we offer is so much better than the dealership. There's just so many things that we can do that they can't do. Most of the time, you know, we have employees that care. You know, I don't know if you've been to the dealer lately and, you know, you call up and you get transferred around and you're not really getting the attention you deserve. There's just so many different levels of things that we can offer that they can, or they just don't care to offer because their employees don't care. You know, it all comes around to that.
You know, I think it's so interesting, Jake, talking about, you know, parts. I think you guys all know that if they get stuck on a diag and they need to replace a part, but it's not on the shelf in the parts room, in our case, we can search from hell to high water, right, to find it. Doesn't the dealer typically just stop there and say to the customer, hey, maybe a few days?
Yeah, I think you might get lucky with a few dealers that are willing to maybe reach out to 1 or 2 more sources. But I know at least our shop and most in the aftermarket, if we don't find the part through our first, you know, primary vendor, whoever our preferred partner is, we go to option 2, 3, 4 and just continue down the list until we find it. We don't stop. It's, you know, I've had worked with people in the past that have come from the dealer and they've told me, you know, hey, we can't get this part. I'll tell them, well, that's not an option. Maybe our preferred vendors can't get that part, but after we, you know, exhaust all of those standard resources, we'll go online. We'll look through other dealerships in other states or whatever it is that we have to do. You know, every vendor that we've ever bought from, you know, like it was mentioned earlier, sometimes used, you know, we prefer not to and stay away from that. But there are times that that might be the only option, and faced with getting their car back on the road or not, customer is happy to go with a, you know, less desirable option if it means getting their car repaired now.
Does our customer know how hard we work for them, how nimble we are, what great people we have, the training commitment that we have? Do our customers really know? Are we doing a good enough job explaining why they come here?
Just the fact that those customers are coming in there is them acknowledging the fact that they know that. I mean, and we'd have to explain it to extent to them in certain situations. Like if you have to find a part that you've searched 5 different places for, you need to let the customer know what kind of work you went through to find that for them. I mean, because those are wins for the customer and for your organization. But the fact that they're walking through the door continuously, I think is them understanding how good of a service team you have or organization across the board, I think.
George, are you explaining, do you hear your service advisors explain to the customer, you know, that we walked over the desert with no shoes on to help get this car repaired?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely explain to them. I think it really comes into the people that have never experienced it before. You know, you have the dealership training the customers when they buy the car that the only place you can go is here. You know, if you want your warranty, it's here. And they believe that. They're not aware that they can go to other places. So our first obstacle is convincing people or showing them, hey, give us a try and we'll win you over. So that's one obstacle. But once they're here, the service speaks for itself. You know, they're like, wow, you know, you guys answer the phone and you know what's going on. You don't have to transfer me, or, you know, wow, I can't believe you guys stayed late to get my car finished for me, or, you know, all these little extra things that we do to prove to them that we're better. You know, we've had customers go to the dealership because of a recall and they're like, man, I hate going there. It's terrible.
But they are conditioning their clients that they are the place. They have the best of smarts, the access to all the latest tools and equipment and information. And there are people doing this, Jake. They're shaking their head and saying, yes, sir, I'll have another. One of the thoughts that I just had is in our customer base, 2-3 cars, 2.5 cars per family. I'm not sure the exact number, but one of them is coming to you and all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm buying a new car for the wife. Well, right there, you need to go into that training mode as to what happens after that warranty period is up and over and out and condition them. And I don't think you just do it once, Jake. I think you have to do it over and over.
You know, I'll piggyback on what George said about their conditioning on when you buy the car. I have a perfect example. My wife bought a new vehicle about a year ago. And when we got into the finance and they're trying to sell us on all the warranties, you know, they pulled out all the scare tactics, telling us how expensive these modules are that are going to fail and we won't know what to do or where to go. And, you know, I reassured them I'd probably be able to figure something out. And I told the guy that I've got a shop and I can get through these repairs. It's not going to be a problem. And he said, well, you don't understand. On these new vehicles, they're so complex, you have to have the OE tooling. And it was on a Toyota. And I said, well, I've got Toyota TechStream, so I think I'll be okay. That's me knowing the inside of the industry and still being told from an expert that knows I'm in the industry that I'm not going to be able to fix my own car and that I'm going to have to go back to them. So imagine what your customers are thinking when they're getting that pressure sales that, you know, the aftermarket's just not going to be able to help you with certain repairs. So I think we need to be better about screaming that we have the ability to fix these vehicles. We have access to the OE tools. We have access to the OE software. All those things are available to us and that we are capable of taking care of our customers from A to Z.
What about warranty, guys? I mean, aftermarkets, some people are up to 336. What's OE offering?
my understanding, most are at a 12-12. I think there is some variance on that, but that is one of the best things I think our aftermarket can offer, is the better warranty and taking care of our customers for long term. I know most of your aftermarkets are a 24,000 mile warranty. Us, for example, we offer a 3-year, 36,000 mile warranty, which is unheard of on the OE. I mean, if you think about it, that's the warranty some of these OEs are offering on their whole brand new car. We're offering that on a repair to a vehicle that has miles on it and has been driven down the road, you know? So we're offering a much better warranty or guarantee that our work is going to be as good or better than that vehicle came off the factory line with.
Tell me about the skill level that's needed. Do you find that there's a better skill level inside of your program, your apprentice program, your training program, than is at the dealer?
I think it depends on what you're looking for, but our apprentice program, for instance, has a 1-year span of time where they're following a lead technician around, a master certified technician that is well versed in multiple makes and models across the board. They're learning more of a universal tool set so that they can cover GM, Ford, Chrysler. I think that when they're in these same programs at dealerships, they're very pigeonholed into one category of vehicles. So I think that across the board, I think that our people are much more well-rounded in this industry or in the independent side as opposed to the dealership.
By no means, for all the wonderful technicians that work on the dealership side, I'm not saying that we have any better skill, but I guess the skills that we need to fix all makes, all models is at a different level. And are we telling our clients that? I'm sorry I'm pushing that so hard, but it seems to me that if we don't educate our customer, then the dealer wins. And here's how they win. It's raining out, but you're sitting in the F&I's office and he says, you know, it's sunny, it's beautiful out. By the way, Jake, you're never going to get that module anywhere else but here. You're never going to get the right equipment from here. You're never going to get the right information from here. It's sunny out. And the head goes up like this, right? And what do we like to do? We like to mimic people. So say, yeah, you're right. I guess that's the case. So the minute the car makes a noise out of its warranty period, what do? We remember that shake the head motion and the fear that you had. My car's never going to get me to work if I don't come back. And I'm not putting the dealer down. This is all about, it's almost a marketing ploy or tactic.
Oh, for sure. I was a dealership tech for 18 years. And I was a foreman and I was master tech. You know, I thought I was a pretty solid tech. You know, we opened the shop and I was like, yeah, no problem. You get exposed to so many different things. You know, you know, these dealership guys, they can be great techs, but they see the same problems day in and day out. They have full factory support behind them with scan tools, with tech support, with, you know, helplines and manual. So you have a safety net to a point. And then you come out to the aftermarket world and you're, because the cars have a lot more mileage and wear and tear and so many different issues, but you don't have the tech support backup they do. You don't have the manufacturer's help. If anything, we're handcuffed by manufacturers because they don't want us to steal their work. There's that going for us with techs that deal with this stuff for any period of time. You know, and obviously in the beginning it was tough for me, but I adjusted pretty quick. And you're just such a more well-rounded technician. And you're right. Like, we really need to do a better job of talking to our customers about what we offer compared to the dealership and how much behind the scenes work is done, you know, for researching problems and using the different manuals and using the different texts that are out there. They're very helpful, but just still not to the same level as the manufacturer guy. They'll even send out engineers. I mean, I've had engineers come out. We definitely have to talk more about how we offer a more and more well-rounded technician.
Is it possible that not enough of our places have done an image upgrade, have cleaned up, have painted, have improved the coffee bar? Anyone goes to the dealership for the first time, it's for that first free oil change, or it is for a warranty item. They may not get the car right away, and it may not be a loving relationship like the independents provide, but it's, in many cases, cleaner, nicer, better looking. And, you know, we're sitting here, all three of you guys have run phenomenal operations. we've got to carry some in the industry over that line.
I think to a certain extent, we are preaching to the choir. I mean, we're talking to the shops that do have clean facilities, that do, you know, the upgrades and make things look nice and give our customers a great experience. And that's not everyone in the aftermarket. So as much as I love to say that the aftermarket offers a better solution or a better product than the dealer does, sure, there's some independent shops where that's just not true. Yeah, all of us need to do a better part of helping to bring up those around us. But also, you know, it might be a little taboo to get into the pricing aspect of things. But I was pretty excited to see when we talked about this show and looked at some of the talking points, nobody brought up that we were the less expensive alternative or something like that to the dealer. And I think in the past, that was kind of the major point that people liked about the aftermarket, was that they thought they were going to save all this money. And now I think more shop owners are looking at it as, no, we're going to offer you a better product. So instead of worrying about the price, we're worrying about making sure our customers have a more comfortable facility to come into, a clean area, that their vehicles return faster than it would have been at the dealership, that the repair is done properly, you know, and that we're offering something so much better that price is no longer in the equation. And I think a lot of those shops that aren't offering the comfortable waiting areas and the clean environment and all that are the ones that are still focused on the price. And mean as it might be to say this, my hope is that those shops are going to start falling away as they realize that they can't stay profitable doing that. They're really tarnishing all of our reputation. And hopefully we get more shops on board that we can offer a better product and we can succeed at doing this and offer better than the dealership does.
Hey, Carm here. Are you creating personal touches for your customer? We'll keep listening to find out how easy it is to do. I want to let you in on a little secret. Investing in a cloud-based shop management system could be the smartest purchase you make in 2021. Manual processes can really add up and cost your shop unnecessary time and money. Now, if you're writing out repair orders, you're wasting time. If you're chasing customers for approvals, you're wasting time. If you're manually calculating invoices or logging into multiple systems, you're wasting time. And if you're wasting time, well, then you're wasting money. Do me a favor, pull up Chrome, Safari, or whatever browser you use and type in getshopware.com. Click on the Book a Demo button in the upper right corner and check out Shopware's amazingly efficient software. Trust me, you won't regret it. Again, that's getshopware.com. Would you ever consider going to a restaurant you've never heard of without first checking the reviews on Google? Well, probably not, right? Now think about someone who has to bring their car, one of their most valuable possessions, into a shop they haven't heard of. They're probably going to want to read some Google reviews first to make sure that they're going to a reputable place. Broadly is focused on helping auto shops increase their number of reviews on Google. Now they know that that's one of the best ways to build trust with potential customers and get your business discovered online. Google reviews are going to make you stand out from your competition and get more customers coming into your shop. Trust me, reviews can make all the difference in your business. So what are you waiting for? Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative. Learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I want to call them struggling shops. They need help. They come to the podcast, learn a lot of things, slowly start making change, hire a business coach, join a networking group. And it just doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's a couple of year process to get where they need to get so that they can charge that kind of money, so that they can pay those kinds of wages, so they can have the right benefit program. You're right. We are preaching to the choir, but the struggling shops come to the podcast to catch the wisdom of what you guys are doing and the strategies that you're working, because the dealer's the alternative to you guys. And the other way around, there is no alternative. And we've got to get out of the pit hole of where some of the labor rates are, implement training, hire better people, put in an apprentice program. It still goes back, and I don't want to belabor the relationship point and the fact that we need to do an awful lot of education to our customers as to why they come here. And one of the shows that we did a while back was on, you have to Google what noise your car is making and then come in here and tell me, I think my master cylinder is gurgling or something. Yeah, whatever. And you need to tell them that the dealership won't is, listen, we are your Google. Let us figure it out. We're your Google for your car.
Absolutely. We need to set the stage for clients to understand that they can come to us for anything, regardless of what it is, and that they don't need to be searching stuff. We're here to help them through any scenario. And going back to what Jake was saying too, perception of professionalism. So on the aftermarket side, it's hit or miss as you walk into an independent shop. So there's groups like ours where we've got nice waiting areas. We're setting the stage for customers as they come through the door with our service teams and the atmosphere that's there. But that's not happening in every shop. So on the dealership side, they've set that stage. That doesn't mean that they're the absolute professionals. We have incredibly skilled people in our organizations, but we need to do a better job on the aftermarket side of setting that stage as clients come to see us across the board. I think that's a huge deal moving forward as far as the independent side taking control of what we look like to people when they come through.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, that it's about the relationship and, you know, the perception. It's the first impression. When people Google us, you know, they'll go on that street view, they'll look at our pictures. They're just trying to get a feel for what we're all about. If that initial feel on Google or our website isn't warm and fuzzy, it's really not helping our case, you know, and having all the aftermarket shops really represent us, you know, to a degree, because people think dealership and everywhere else a lot of times, or a chain store. So, you know, we have to kind of raise all the shops, you know, if we can either they kind of fall away, like you said, or, you know, finally see the light and they turn their ship around and get everything right. We're in that position. But our purpose is to provide an exceptional customer experience. It doesn't say anything about we fix cars good or anything like that. It's about the experience that we give to the customer. So, you know, we have to give them the best possible experience. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or us, you know, they're going to remember the best experience they've had in customer service. And we want to be that experience. So they tell their friends about, oh man, these guys did such a great job. They did this, you know, all these different things for me. And they're going to come to expect that. So it's, you know, we have to make sure that everybody in our organization puts out that image of, you know, exceptional customer service and really takes care of them, because, you know, without them, I mean, we won't have anything.
I love where this thing is going so far. Let's talk about some stuff that we do as an industry that I'm not sure our customers know. Like, for example, let's go down this great list that George provided us about loaner cars. Do people really understand that that's a great option for us? Now, I know the dealers, do they do that as much?
From my experience, they usually reserve that for warranty customers. You know, when I was at the dealership, it very rarely, even a customer who bought a big job got a loaner car. It was a big deal. And then most of the time, they were always out. We always heard them, oh, yeah, loaner cars are out. Sorry.
With the vehicle shortages that they're seeing, our local dealerships are having hard times providing loaner vehicles. There's just nothing on their lots. That's been a huge benefit for us that we could provide, at least as of late.
So let's go down the list that you provided us. You know, Uber, does the customer really know that we're buying OEM parts, that we're doing touchless service, that we have, you know, what we learned from COVID that we continue to make part of our company? Let me ask a question. What is the consummation of the ticket? Jake, for example, your customer comes in and is it all touchless? You never see the customer again after they drop it off? Or are they coming in, or we're having an end of transaction phone call with them, and are we selling the extras? I mean, not selling, you know, get more revenue, but selling the benefit of why they do business with us.
During COVID, the heat of things, we did offer a completely touchless service, and that's still available. We'll have a few customers ask for something like that. But for the most part, our customers are still coming in the door. We're offering that face-to-face service that, you know, I think is part of what sets us apart from the dealer is that interaction and that relationship that our advisors build with the customers, because our customers aren't just bringing in the same vehicle with the same problem to get, you know, in and out real quick and working on a a whole bunch of cars that day, you know, they're getting to know the service advisors. Our advisors, you know, part of our training is that we tell them to be asking for little things about their personal lives, things that are going on. You know, if they're bringing in a car for their kid, we ask them, you know, are they going off to college or something? And then part of that pickup is that we try and offer some sort of extra. So we've got a little fridge behind the counter where we keep some cookies that are shaped like a Volkswagen Beetle, because that's kind of how we got our start, was in the VW world. And it says thank you and McNeil's on it. So they'll grab a cookie or leave it in the vehicle. But we've also got some cards so they can write a quick card that, you know, if they said their kid was going off to college, they can say, thanks for trusting us to fix your vehicle, to put your child through college, whatever it is. So we can make that personal touch. So we're always looking to try and make it personal, because I think that is what sets us apart, is we're not just a cookie cutter, you know, drive through window type operation. We have a relationship with our customers.
Stuff that we're doing, comfortable, clean waiting room, gourmet coffee, as we said just a few minutes ago, that you guys are really maybe the top 20% in the industry. This is who is really grooming and growing. But a few years back, 10%, 15%. So many independents are waking up and meeting the call. We're not each other's competition. The dealership is our competition, and they're doing everything they can to continue to tell the story that they're the only place you can go. So knowing that we need to do things to not only meet what their impression to the consumer, to the car buying public is, we have to exceed it.
I think one of the big things that we try to focus on is, you know, number one, building trust with the customer, because, you know, our industry always has a bad name, you know, regardless of dealership or aftermarket. And the second is convenience. You know, a lot of the things we do is based off of how do we make it more convenient for the customer. You know, the loaner cars, it's a huge convenience. I mean, if they're out of their car for a week or, you know, multiple days even, it's, you know, think of the last time you didn't have your car. I mean, how much of a pain is that? So we had to put ourselves in their position a lot of times, and how are we solving their pain? You know, the Uber, Lyft rides, you know, if they're right up the street and they don't need a car, hey, shoot them home. A lot of people are working from home now, just take them back to the house. You know, we'll pick up cars from people's houses, you know, depending on the distance away. And the touchless service is still good for after hours, and using a lockbox and the payment over the, you know, on the phone or through text message. COVID kind of like brought a lot of shops up to our standard, because they had to survive, you know, with the online payment and things. So, you know, it kind of like accelerated a lot of shops' learning curves if they were really serious about surviving. But really it's like convenience. How do we break that barrier down with convenience? Because the dealership's not convenient by any means. You know, it's, you have to go to their specific location, and usually they're in clusters and a busy street. So, you know, all these little things, convenience and just, you know, a little perk. Sometimes perk is a nice, you know, you hear some dealerships that are offering, like, they'll do your nails while you're waiting. You know, the ladies will be getting their nails done while they're waiting. It's just an enticement to get them in there. It's like, does that make up for bad service everywhere else? Who knows? But yeah, convenience, building trust. That's what we're really trying to accomplish with these little things that we're doing.
The relationship side of things is on our side of the business. I mean, there's no brand on the top of our building that associates with a vehicle or a customer that's driving in. We have to be completely relational when they come through the door. I mean, that can be something as individual as a single client, or with the community itself that you're involved in or you're a part of. A lot of us are doing a lot with our communities. Our service advisors are very relational. And I think that as much as our team members on the mechanical side of the business are well-versed and universal and can cover multiple brands and different scenarios, I think our service teams on the front end of the business are just as much of a universal staff as well. And when you look at what COVID did, there's so many different clientele that wanted different levels of service. So from one customer to the next, the person walking through the door, you didn't know what their expectation was. And that just magnified what we were already dealing with on a daily basis from the service side. Every customer, every client has different expectations. You got to figure out how you're going to build a relationship with those expectations. So both the front and the back, our entire organizations have to adapt on a daily basis to perform the level of service that we expect to perform or to provide.
Do you guys agree that the dealership is our main competitor and not the independent down the street?
Definitely. I mean, I think a big part of that is look at the volume availability. You know, the guy down the street's not going to be able to take a whole lot of volume compared to what one dealership can do. But also, we're trying to set that standard of what we do differently. And we aren't supposed to be much different from the guy down the street if he's doing it right. So that's not our competitor.
Hey, Jake, you sent me some great talking points about alternatives, alternative paths for repair. You had a story to tell about a Dodge Charger.
I think a big thing that we've been seeing lately is these time frames that the dealerships are offering to the customers. There really just is no relationship with the customer, and they don't care how long it takes. You know, I've heard some crazy stories, but one example we had is a customer brought us his 2015 Dodge Challenger. He had just bought it from the dealership, and on the way home, he felt a vibration. So he made an appointment to get it back to the service bay, took it back there. They said that it was a problem with the carrier bearing on the driveline, but there was no ETA on when they could get a new driveline. And he said, okay, well, what does that mean? They said, well, it means you're going to have that vibration or you can't drive your car. He says, well, for how long? And they said, well, until we get the part, and we can't tell you when we'll have the part. So he asked them if there was other options, anything else they could do. And they said, no. He tried to get them to purchase the vehicle back, but it was used and sold as is. So he literally bought a car and was told he couldn't drive it. And they didn't know when he would be able to drive it again. And there's just no empathy or compassion there at all from the dealership. So he brought it to us and said, do you guys have any idea, anything we can do? So we looked through all the resources we could, and we were unable to find a new driveline. You know, we were getting the same answers from the Dodge dealer that there was just no ETA on it. So we looked around at some of the used options, which again, we don't typically like to do, but there are situations when it makes sense. And this looked like one of those. So we called around, and one of the sources that we've used in the past said, yeah, we've got one and we offer a 6-month guarantee on it. So we told the customer, hey, we'll put this in. We can get it tomorrow, I think it was, and have the vehicle back on the road right away. And we can do a couple of things. We'll still order the driveline from the dealership so that when it comes in, you have that option if you want to go with a new one. And you have a 6-month warranty. So hopefully that'll get us by until then. Well, that's been probably about 7 or 8 months. I think it was in the spring that all happened. And I've talked to the customer since, still no word from the dealership. They've never called him. He didn't tell them that he got the car fixed. They've still never called him to tell them the driveline's there or there's an option. So had he not resourced, you know, us to repair that vehicle for him, he would still be without a car making payments on it right now.
You know, when I hear stories like this, it just drives me nuts. If we're in the safety and the reliability business, what you did for your customers was the reliability side, right? Yeah, it was the safety side, sure, but you helped him have reliable transportation. Why would he have the vehicle if he didn't need it? And why would anyone, dealer or independent, allow that kind of situation to fester like that?
I don't know. And it, you know, I'll be honest with you, it seems like it's becoming more common. I'm seeing it more and more. You know, one other example I had there was we had a customer that brought us his 2018 Land Rover Discovery, still under warranty, said that there was oil pouring out after a test drive. He could see oil everywhere and he didn't feel safe driving it. So he called the dealership. They told him it was 2 months before they could get the vehicle in to look at it. And he told him he needed a vehicle. He couldn't be 2 months without it, and asked if he was okay to drive it. And they said, well, if it's leaking oil that bad, you shouldn't be driving it. And he said, well, what if I do drive it since you're not going to get it in and fix it and the engine blows? And they said, well, if it's damaged due to low oil and you know that it has an oil leak, we're not going to cover that. So they pretty much stiff-armed him and said, 2 months before we look at it, you know, we don't know when we'll fix it either after that, but you can't drive the vehicle in the meantime. So he brought it to us and same thing. They just asked, is there any options? Do you know anything I can do? We looked at it and the front timing cover was leaking. We were able to get the part, had the vehicle fixed. I mean, it was within days from when the customer called us to when we had it back on the road for him again. And from the dealership, he was just told, wait 2 months and we'll get you some answers and be without your car that you're still making payments on.
Yeah, I actually had a customer call me 2 days ago, somebody that I knew fairly well, that had a turbo on his vehicle that was leaking. And he found out that it was under a warrant recall or extended coverage. And it was $3,500. And he said, I really don't want to deal with a dealership. He said, I don't want my vehicle being there for 2 months while they wait for parts or something along those lines. He's thinking about having us fix it, even though he could get the repair done for free because he wants his vehicle. He knows how long it's going to take for them to get it in. And he just absolutely does not want to go in there. I mean, that's where we're going, getting with some of our clientele, is they despise the situation so much that they're willing to pay for repairs that they could get potentially for free because they know what it could happen with time frames.
When the dealership offers the free oil changes, right? No matter if you buy a used or a new car, listen, you come here for the next 2 years, you know, we're going to do a free oil change. Is that conditioning enough, or are you guys working through that real hard?
You know, we've had quite a few customers that they buy Toyotas. Toyota has their, you know, free maintenance plan for the first few years. And the reoccurring theme is they go back for that service, the first service after the freeze up. And they're like, you know, they told me it was going to be $400 and some for, because after their free oil change is up, that's when the real services start. You know, they actually need some real maintenance besides the oil and rotate. It's funny. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm tired. I'm not going back there. You know, I waited for 2 hours for the oil change. You know, they just tell you this story that they went through just because it was free. It's conditioning to a point, but sometimes it's in our best interest too, because they just don't deliver on what they promise. And the customer ends up coming back to us or, you know, the only reason I went was because it was free, you know, and they're like, oh, we're just waiting for the free one to go before we came into you guys. So it's like, well, you know, we can do more than that. So, you know, we're here for you.
John, never have any customers that say free or not, I'm coming here.
We do actually. And we've actually talked about customers with buying new vehicles, offering them the same service across the board. We're not quite there yet, but I think the dealership really misses the boat when it comes to understanding how valuable people's time is to them. We've had customers go in there for the first oil change, same scenario where they go in, they wait for 3 hours after their set appointment, and then come back frustrated because it's in the middle of a working day and they were trying to fit it in. At that point, they're just willing to pay for oil changes after that because they know there's more consistent time frames. We'll follow through on what we say, that type of thing.
I know we didn't change the world, but I think we told some great stories from your particular perspectives as to why we, the independents, are better than the car dealers. And I think there's some really wise words here. And part of it may be to improve your place. But more importantly, I think, is to tell the story to the consumer who has been baited. And it's not the right word, who has been enticed by the car dealer. The F&I guy says, you know, like you said, Jake, you'll never get this repaired anywhere else. And Jake knows different. And Jake, if you're sitting there hearing that story, you know it's going on 10 times a day, right? So part of this message is, if Jake's all the wiser and he's hearing that, and my customer doesn't know what the Toyota tool does and what my availability to parts like Jake does, how do I convince my customer that we are the stronger alternative? And I think we have to tell stories. We can't ignore the fact that they're being pulled very heavily toward that side. Now, we do know that out of warranty, the aftermarket, the independent aftermarket gets 70% of the work. Let's not let that go down. Do all the things that helps you grow a strong and prominent business in your marketplace. And we can go down the litany of things that you have to do, and you can't do them all at once. But that's where my soapbox comes in, and I won't get up and on it. Hey, this was great. Thank you so much, especially here, you know, in the new year. Jake Sorensen, lead diagnostician at McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah. The guy who actually created, along with his owner, Pete, the NAPA Apprentice Program. George Gilligan, partner, Revolution Motor Works out in Finksburg, Maryland. And John Klusterman, director of Ops Westside Auto Group in Zeeland, Michigan, 4 locations. Guys, thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.